All right. Anybody excited about some of the things happening here at Cross Point? I'm so thrilled about what we have coming up and the opportunities that we have. And first of all, let me just welcome you to part two of our series, Teach Us to Pray. But before we get into that, let me just highlight a couple things that was just mentioned to you. One being the 21 days of prayer. And here's what we'd really like you to do. We have a brand new website that we just would love for you to connect with and through. And so I really want to encourage you to go this week to crosspointworshipcenter.com/21days. And there you'll find a link where you can connect online to these prayer services. Now, as is announced, the prayer time for us is from 7 o'clock a.m. to 8 o'clock a.m. Monday through Friday, and then we actually are coming in here at 10 o'clock on Saturdays, and we do that together. But let me also mention that if that is a time that does not work well for you, each one of these, as you link online to that site that where the services are live, you'll also find a way that you can check out the prayer services at another time. In other words, each service in the morning is archived for 24 hours until the next one begins. So what that means is if you can't do that at 7 o'clock in the morning, you can do it at 7 o'clock in the evening if you like and go to that. And just a powerful time of connecting. Want to encourage you to do that. Also, let me mention one other thing that has been brought to my attention, and that is we have a prayer guide that we actually have a couple comments that people are really enjoying this prayer guide that will help you during this 21 days of prayer. In here, you'll find how to have a lifestyle of prayer. It talks about the breakdown of the pattern of the Lord's Prayer, the tabernacle prayer, and what that looks like and how we press into God's presence. There's prayer and scriptural devotions there. There's warfare prayers. There's personal prayer targets, and there's a place for a prayer journal in there. This is in a printed form. However, if you, as was referred to on our announcement video, go online to that page on our site, it will give you a link to download this. So you can actually download this and look at this online on your phone and utilize it in that format. If you'd like to print out, you can also, of course, it's a PDF, you can print that out as well, because there's some blank pages on there where you can fill in your prayer needs and those kinds of things and use that as a guide. So I want to strongly encourage you to utilize this resource as we pray together, and it's going to make a great difference, I'm telling you, when you spend time in God's presence. It doesn't change God. God doesn't change. But what it will do, it will change you, right? And so the second thing, only two things I want to highlight. The second thing is that this coming Saturday, we're not only going to pray, but we're going to put legs to our prayers. So we're actually doing that instead of before the prayer time. We're going to do it after the prayer. We're going to come in and pray from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. Then at 11, we will go out, and we're going to just do something simple, hand out water bottles. And I'm going to share with you in a few moments how we can actually do something very simple, but when God's behind it, how many knows that little is much when God is in it? And so I want to encourage you to join with us this Saturday. I'll be here. It's going to be a great day coming up this coming Saturday. Please don't forget about that. All right, everybody? All right, all right. So let's jump into this part two of Teach Us to Pray. And this series is set in place because, honestly, I think a lot of us, we want to pray. We'd like to pray. We know we need to pray. But oftentimes, we really don't know how to pray. And so we're really doing this series with that thought in mind. Let's look at this scripture. There in your worship guide, you'll find some message notes with some fill-in-the-blanks that you can follow along with. We'll also have up here on the screen. But let's look at our first scripture that's found in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. I want to talk about that in the series as well, not today, but Jesus had a certain place. We all need a certain place. And it says that when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, there they were watching him pray, observing him. I don't know if he were hiding behind a tree or what, but they encountered Jesus praying, and they said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And so that's why we titled this message, Teach Us to Pray, just as John taught his disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. And so the Lord then, what we know, gave them the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And some people pray that prayer word for word, and that's okay to do that. But actually what Jesus was showing them was there was an outline there for prayer of the way and the things that we need to pray about. And Luke chapter 11, this is recorded, and also a parallel scripture to this is found in Matthew chapter 6 that highlights a few other things. But what is being stated here is that we are to pray this pattern of prayer. And it begins with this part that we talked about last week, this worship. That we always begin prayer through worship, through worshiping Him, coming to God's presence, recognizing who He is through worship. And Jesus modeled that when He said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name." We begin with worship. And then the next thing that you see happens in that pattern of prayer is this part I want to talk about today. And I just want to take us to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, where Jesus continued on and He said, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your kingdom come, Your will be done. And what I want us to see here is that way before our agenda, we need to be praying His agenda. Way before we get into our list of what we would like done, we need to align with His perspective. And sometimes we just have the wrong perspective. I don't know if some of you this week were connecting online and with us, but there was actually one of the speakers at the beginning of the prayer time, one of the pastors that was talking about perspective and how he went on a trip to Mount Everest. And he didn't conquer Mount Everest, but he was there and he observed Mount Everest. And so from his perspective, he was at the bottom of the mountain looking up. He showed a picture of that, and then he also showed another picture of a person who was climbing Mount Everest. He said, "That was not me, but that was a picture of somebody else climbing it." Showed another picture of an airplane flying by looking down on the mountain. And it's the same mountain, but it was different perspectives. And I want to tell you, sometimes we come to God with different perspectives, and we see things looming before us. As Caleb, after many years of walking around in the wilderness with Moses, looked finally at this mountain that he had been in the shadow of for many years of his life, and looked at this mountain, and at 85, he was able to say, "God, give me this mountain," because he knew God was able. But sometimes we're in the shadow of something, and we got something looming in front of us, and our perspective makes all of the difference. The same thing is true when we come to God in prayer. Here's the big idea of the day that I want us to get. And could it be that prayer is not this opportunity to drop off your to-do list to God? Could it be that it's not this place to inform God, "God, I know You haven't been observing, and I hope You understand what's going on in my life. Let me bring You up to date," as if God doesn't already know. "You know, God, I've got issues. Are You not paying attention? You know, what's up with that?" Or could it be that prayer is not this place to get God involved in earth? "God, You're my Santa Claus kind of guy. I'm in trouble. I need You to give me what I need. You know, my name is Jimmy. Give me, give me, give me." You know, do we pray that kind of prayer? Or could it be that prayer is this changing, not God changing, us changing God, but God changing us? Not changing God's perspective, but changing our perspective. And prayer getting connected, and that is that we align with the will of God. So it's not so much that we want God to come down to our level, but could it be that prayer is lifting us up to His level? You know what I'm saying? Not about this prayer of saying, "God, Your kingdom come, we just want You to come down here and get with us in what You're doing," but the kingdom come prayer is saying, "As it is in heaven, God, let us be doing as it is in heaven. Let us be doing what Your will is. Let us be doing what Your agenda is." So let me put it this way. Prayer is not about God focusing on us, but about us focusing on God. And not about God just focus on what I need, but prayer being about, "God, let us focus on You and what Your will is," right? And so even Ephesians talks about the fact that we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I believe that prayer puts us in that kind of place. Prayer is a positioning. It's putting us in that place where we understand who He is. And so we pray on earth as it is in heaven, but as it is in heaven, heaven to earth, or earth to heaven, lift us up to where You are. And if the first purpose of prayer is to align ourselves then with Him, If the first purpose of prayer is praying a His kingdom come, His will be done kind of prayer, then what does that look like? And so I want to give us a pattern of four things to pray today that I believe fulfills the first part of the Lord's Prayer. Four things that we could pray every day of our life to align ourselves with God's will and God's agenda. And so to do that, I want to pull out an obscure character out of the Bible that is actually mentioned in only one little small place in a couple of verses. And I want to begin by taking us to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. As we do that, let me just say, Chronicles is just what it is. It's a chronicle. It's a listing. And in Chronicles, you'll see that there's a listing of people who were born and who was born to who. It's a list of genealogies. It's where you get in this Bible reading or your daily reading, and then you're doing fine, and then you run into so-and-so beget so-and-so, and so-and-so beget so-and-so, and so-and-so beget so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so on, and so on, and so forth. And that's when this Bible reading is really exciting, right? Y'all with me today? And that's when you're glad that your Bible reading includes not just that part of the Scripture, but you throw in a psalm, and you throw in a proverb, and you throw in some New Testament, because you kind of get bogged down in that. But what it was doing there was listing a who's who there. But in this Chronicles of these begats, there's 300 names listed here, but there was one guy that got an honorable mention. We just came out of a series about honor. There's one guy that had an honorable mention. There was an add on to his name. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, it says this. Read with me. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Now let me just pause right there, because we need to understand that in the Bible, you'll oftentimes find that people were named, children were named, by what experience there was during the childbirth process. And so here was this guy that was named Pain. It must have been a painful delivery. And so this guy was actually walking around with the name Pain. Could you imagine? You know, this is my son Theron, this is Tanner, and this is his mother, child named Pain. He's a pain. Could you imagine? I think parents need to be careful when they name their kids, right? And then another way that they named their kids was out of a prophetic nature, what they hoped for them. But this kid landed the name Pain. He had to walk around with it all his life. But I don't know if it was prophetic. I don't know if it was just from the experience or the walk that he was going to walk, but it was a walk of pain. Let me just lighten it up here a little bit with you. It reminds me, I have to use this whenever I can. My father-in-law was the king of corny jokes, and I got one for you right in this line. Some of you may have heard this. There was this preacher that actually went to this church, and he was actually filling in for the pastor that was out that particular Sunday. And so before he began his message, he said, "You know, when your window pane is out in your house and you don't have the window, you've ordered it, but the window isn't in yet, you put up a piece of cardboard, you know, just to fill in the place there, or a piece of plywood, or, you know," and he says, "That's what I am. I'm just a piece of cardboard filling in today." After he preached his message, someone came up to him after church and said, "Preacher," said, "you weren't just a fill-in piece of cardboard. You were a real pain." Okay, there you go. There's your bright spot in this message today. All right. But here was Jabez, and his name actually meant pain, and pain cried out. Look what it goes on to say. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, and he said, "Oh, that you would bless me," prayed four things here, "oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free." Now get this, he prayed four things. He didn't pray about his pain, but he prayed four things. And in those four things, then he concluded, "so that I will be free from pain." And it goes on to say that God granted his request. I want us to look at these four things that he prayed. He said, oh, that you would bless me. And that's your first blank there. And that is that the number one thing that we need to pray for is blessing. It's blessing. In fact, one scripture, one translation says, and bless me indeed. It's like five exclamation marks on that. And so we need to clarify, though, what we mean when we say bless me, because honestly, for a season, at one time, there was this bad abuse of the term blessing. There was a name it, claim it, blab it, grab it kind of thing that went around and talking about prosperity and wealth and just whatever you want, like he was a Santa Claus in the sky, pull down the chain, get your free Cadillac. That's not what we're talking about today. Actually, the word blessing means to impart supernatural favor. If God is on your side, is that God has a favor on your life. And here's what I want you to see this morning, and that is that some people don't realize that God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. There's actually, even among Christians, many times this mentality that we've got to earn God's favor, that we've got to do enough good deeds to get on his side, and that actually God has favorites, and there's only certain ones that he really blesses, and the rest of us just kind of get by. And that God's will is this poverty, suffering, this crawling around and that on our knees, and we just crawl into heaven on bloodstained knees. Can I tell you, that is not in the Bible. Now, there may be some suffering that we have in this life, but God wants his people to be blessed. There's a reason why he wants his people to be blessed, and that is so that we can be a blessing. Because listen, if you're not blessed, you don't have anything to give. God is a blesser. He is not a withholder. God wants to impart his supernatural favor on your life, and there is a reason for that. It's not just so I can have a bunch of stuff and be somebody. No, he wants to bless you because he has a purpose and a plan on your life that he wants to fulfill in you and through you. And when we're barely making it, barely getting by, come on, I want to break the spirit of this poverty mentality. Now, I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about a poverty of spirit where we just think we just barely get by and just barely make it and work out of this deficit. Listen, I believe God wants us to have some abundance so we have something to give to somebody, so we have some influence to bless somebody with. Are you with me today, right? Okay. And so God wants to bless us. Look at Psalm chapter 5. It says, for surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. And say, well, yeah, but I don't deserve it. I'm not the righteous. Let me tell you something. You're not righteous in what you did or what you didn't do. You're righteous because of his righteousness and because of what he did. Can I get a good hallelujah right there? You know what hallelujah means? Come on. Just a laughter of praise to God to say, hey, it's not my righteousness, but it's his righteousness. He says, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Why? So you can be a blessing. He cannot use you if you have nothing to give. And so we need to break this spirit of poverty of spirit where and I understand that there's a balance to that. There's a healthy poverty of spirit of humility before God. But what I'm talking about this morning is this: you can't encourage somebody when you're discouraged. Right? You can't help them and give them peace when you're walking around in turmoil. You can't help advise them in your marriage, in their marriage, when your marriage is on the rocks, right? But you can when it's on the rock, right? It can when you have a foundation and you have a point of strength to give and to minister to others. Even Hebrews talks about this Abrahamic blessing that's passed on to us, that we walk in God's favor. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2 says this: I will bless you, ... and you will be a blessing to others. God's will, get this everybody, if you need to get this perspective. God's will is to bless you. Hey, Cross Point, God's will is to bless us so that we can be a blessing. God's will is not for us to get by on a duct tape mentality. God's will is so that we can be blessed, so that we can be a blessing in our community. Come on, I just feel like preaching this morning. Amen. So, we need to understand that. God's will. I'm going to park it for a while. Don't get anxious because we're going to get through this and we're going to get through this on time. But I got to park on this one. Because we have got this wrong mentality oftentimes of God. God has abundant supply. He has all the, he is the source. He doesn't just have resources. He is the source of our supply. I've heard of one father where his kid was asking for money. And he was wanting to go with this little event with his friends. And he said, you know, so-and-so's going to be there, and so-and-so's going to be there. And he's kind of hem-hawing around, and I really could. And he said, well, I really could use some money. And his father said, well, how much? How much? And he said, well, Dad, I could bum some money. I don't need that much. I mean, I could drink water. You know, I could just, you know, I mean, well, how much? Well, if you just got $5, that would help me, just $5. And see, what the child didn't know was in his father's wallet, he had $200 cash in his wallet. And so the father pulled out his wallet. Don't get nervous. I don't have $200 in mine. I don't have $1 in mine. But he opened up his wallet and he said, okay. He said, but I want you to see what your potential was. One of his kids said, wisely, he said, Dad, what should I have asked for? And he said, I just want you to see what your potential was. I was prepared to give you $20, $40, $60 so that not only could you get for yourself, but that you could treat your friends and say, this is on me, and be a blessing. But according to what you asked for, I'm just going to give you $5. Enjoy your water. Have a good time. You have not because you ask not, right? And so, again, this is not about a materialistic thing we're talking about. Please be clear. This is about having God's blessings on us so that we can be a blessing to others, right? God is willing to give. God is willing to give and wants to, he's a giver of good gifts. He doesn't withhold, no good thing will he withhold from those that ask him. And sometimes we're just kind of, in fact, last couple years when we've taken this trip with some of our leadership to a leadership intensive where we have some training, before the trip, I set it up this way. I go through 10 things of how to get the best out of this trip. And one of the things is, this is not a la carte. This is Ruth's Chris. So in other words, sometimes we just want to pick and choose. Well, I like this, and I'm comfortable with this. And God, you got this gift and that gift, but I don't want that one. I'll take this one. Why do that? Listen, everything that God has for us is good. I don't know about you, but I want everything that God offers me, and I'm going all in, right? So I'm just saying, God, whatever you have for me, it's got to be good. Why would I pick you apart, God? And so what we need to say is, God, our prayer needs to be, whatever you want to give me, Lord, that's what I would love to have. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11 says this, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So that's number one. Number one is that we pray for blessing. Number two is that we pray for influence. Jabez went on to say, enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory. Pray for influence. And I've said this to people in this church that have come up to me and talked to me about different issues in their life, and I've given this advice. You need something bigger than your problems. And guess what? When you get something bigger than your problems, your problem will shrink. It'll be put in proper perspective. Can I get a good amen right there? You need something in your life bigger than your pain. And so right now, here's Jabez walking around in his pain. Some of us need to think about right now, what is in your life that's a pain? Don't look at the person next to you. That's what I'm talking about. I'm saying, what in your life is a, there's a pain, there's a suffering, there's a difficulty in your life. You got an issue with something, you got a habit with something, there's something holding you down. I want you to look at this message in that perspective. You're walking around with that pain. Listen, and we need to pray, God, give me something bigger than that. And I want to tell you, when our life becomes something bigger than that, where we're making a difference, I'm going to tell you, our life will change. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, look at this with me. It says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And he is there to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And I'm going to plug it. You know I'm going to plug it right here. That's why we have the growth track. Today we're offering 201. Find four essential beliefs that you need to live this life out as a Christian. But also then next week it's 301, where we help you discover your God-given purpose, where you understand what God's designed you for, and that you're not about your agenda, but you rise up to a higher level. You get with God's agenda, and you pray that God bless you and then make you an influencer. Sometimes we don't get involved because we analyze what we can do by our own abilities. And we don't need to be confined to our own understanding. Well, oftentimes we're confined to our own understanding of ourselves. The scripture we just read was talking about how we're to have the spirit of revelation and wisdom. And oftentimes we don't understand, but we are confined to our own understanding of who we are. But we need to dream. We need to dream and understand that God, what the dream that God has for us, and dream big. I heard about actually one place where when people come to Christ, they give them their first Bible. And in the Bible, there's actually a picture in there of a person, and they actually take a picture, a snapshot of the person that got saved. They cut out their face. They cut out the face of the person in the Bible, and they insert that person's face. And what it is a picture of is that person standing and preaching to millions of people. They put their picture in the face of that preacher preaching to millions. And what it's saying is, now that you have come to Christ, God's going to give you influence, and you're going to impact the lives of many others, right? And so we need to dream bigger, and that God would enlarge our territory and live that kind of a life. I've got to just share this with you. Friday evening, I came home and I turned on the news, and CBS News was on, and it was at the very end of the broadcast, and they had this story. I would have loved to share it with you. It was just in a format we couldn't put up here, but if you want it, I would love to give you a link. I'll email you a link to it, and you can check it out. But it's a story about a six-year-old little boy in Savannah, Georgia, who had a very great tragedy in his life. He actually, the most horrible thing that any of us would fear, he lost both of his parents. When he was 5 years old, he lost his father. And then at 4 years old, he lost his father. Then at age of five, his mother died in her sleep. And he went in and he tried to wake her up, and he couldn't wake her up. And this little six-year-old boy says, you know, people die all the time. And I tried and tried and couldn't get her awake. And so his aunt took him in as his guardian and taking care of him. And here he is at the tender age of six. And so one day he looks around and he says, you know, he's sad about losing his parents. And he says, I'm tired of people being sad. I want to do something to make a difference. I think there's something I can do. And so in his simple childlike way, he decided that he, with his aunt's help, he was going to get some little toys, and he was going to hand them out to people simply with one goal in mind, and that was to make them smile. And so he went out and he got like little miniature dinosaurs and just little toy, little small insignificant little eggs and stuff, just little playthings that just wouldn't seem like it would mean much to anybody. How many know as little as much when God is in it? When you put it in God's hand, it becomes something great. And so he begins to go to people, and he just begins to hand them this little gift. He goes down the street in Savannah, Georgia, handing out. Look, and what he does, he tries to target people who aren't smiling. He tries to target people that are sad and look like they've got a need in their life. And he goes and he hands out this simple gift, and he says, it's for you. And they don't understand why. And he says, it's to make you smile. Sometimes it gets smiles, sometimes it gets tears, because people get overwhelmed with emotion. And it showed these pictures of all these people from different walks of life hugging this kid with these smiles. And here he is, and they said to date he's racked up 500 smiles. 500 smiles. And then he said at the end of the story, he said, my goal is to, see, I think I can get 33,000 to smile. That's my goal. And the guy says, well, that's a pretty big goal. He said, do you think you can reach it? He said, I think I can. You should have seen this kid. He's got no teeth in the front. He says, I think I can. I think I can. I can't do his accent. You have to, it's just precious. And the reporter said, I think he just did. So now here is this little kid, and he's on national TV, and here I am. Look, you're smiling. He's already influenced it. Look at the wave that it's causing. I want you to tell you, little as much when God said, guess what, Saturday we're going to be handing out some water bottles. And he said, well, that's kind of insignificant, Pastor. Little as much when God is in it. We're going to pray, then we're going to put legs to our prayer. We're going to go out, and we're going to make a difference, and we're going to pray that God will give us influence. Amen? We could do that also with what's coming up with small groups. Get involved with a small group. So, well, I'm not qualified to lead. Don't evaluate by your own abilities. Look, you can do this because God is able to bless you. God's able to give you influence and help you make a difference. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine according to his power, that is at work within us. So let me tell you something. It's not about you. It's not about your ability, but it's about your availability. I want to encourage you. Make yourself available. Go get in some training for a small group. You say, well, I don't know what small group I want to be in, and nothing seems to interest me. Then start one that interests you and those around you. See Pastor Steve and let him train you on how to be a small group leader and live this kind of the life of making a difference, an enlarged territory kind of life. Look at number three. Number three, pray for presence. Pray for presence. This is a prayer that Jabez prayed. He prayed this prayer, let your hand be on me. Now, anytime in Scripture when you read about God's hand, it refers to God's presence. It's his presence. Acts 11:21 says, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. So we're praying for blessing, we're praying for influence, and we're praying for presence. Can I tell you, you can do everything that you know to do, but if God's presence in it is not in it, it doesn't mean a thing. We are dependent totally upon God's presence. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It is his anointing that makes the difference. It's not about how talented we are. It's not about how gifted we are. It's certainly not about how good-looking we are. I wouldn't be up here, you know what I'm saying? It's not about all that. It's not about our pedigree. Come on, it's not about our heritage. It's about who he is. It's not about the vessel. It's about the treasure within the vessel. It's about us yielding and letting God's power within us, not our own power, his power within us, do great and mighty things. Even Jesus said, greater things than these shall you do. Why did he say that? He was the greatest. What he was saying was, it's going to be multiplied exponentially. My Holy Spirit's going to be given to you, and I'm through you. You're going to endue you with power, and you're going to reach the world for me. Amen, everybody? And that's what God's called us to do. It is his Spirit that we need. God chooses the foolish things, the Bible tells us, to confound the wise. It's not about who we are. It's about who he is, and he's done that throughout Scripture. Look at Moses. He chose Moses to be the great deliverer of his people out of the bondage of Egypt. And Moses said, I stutter, I can't. And here, you know, you could just see him standing in front of Pharaoh. Let my people go. And God chose him. See, we think it's got to be somebody that's really got it together, really got it on the ball. Let me tell you, it's somebody that surrenders completely and allows God to be God. We need his presence. So we need to be able to overcome insecurity and understand it's not about us, it's about him. Let me give you a scripture for that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that says this, not that we are competent in ourselves, because we're not, to claim anything for ourselves, but our confidence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills. It's not about your degree, not about how quality. Look, it's about his Spirit. But the Spirit gives life. We used to sing a song. It says this, the anointing makes the difference. So I encourage you, pursue leadership. Pursue leading a small group. Pain goes when you find something bigger than yourself. And if these three happen, let me give you the last one. Something else will happen. You really don't want to, this is not a very positive part of it, but it's okay because we've got something that will take care of it. But here's the truth, and that is that the devil wants to so distract you by your pain that you'll never do anything. Let me say it another way. If he can't keep you out of heaven, he'll throw enough junk at you to keep you from having blessing, influence, and presence in your life. Constantly throwing things at you, so you've always got an issue, always got a problem, never able to get to somebody else's because he bogged you down with your own. So number four is this, pray for protection. Pray for protection. Jabez prayed, keep me from harm. And so we need to understand that the enemy is going to come at us. That's a reality. It's a truth. I'm not making that up. It's what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says this. The devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Psalm 3 says this. Oh Lord, how many are our foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying, God will not deliver him. Look at verse 3. But here's what the reality is. But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. It says, God, you are with me and you are my protection. You are my everything. You're going to take care of that. And so we pray for protection. We pray for protection. I've been pastoring long enough to know when God begins to bless, the devil loves to get in the mix and mess up things. So that's why we pray this prayer, and it's actually the prayer that Jesus prayed in his model of prayer when he says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. So we need to pray God's protection. And there's a shield around us. He's our shield, our glory. And so we don't have to go around worrying about it. He's the lifter of our head. In other words, we keep our eyes upon him. And God takes care of the rest of it. Amen? So here's one for you, this last blank I want to give you, and then we're going to close. And that's this. Prayer is when we align our hearts with his will. Prayer is when we align our hearts with his will. Write that down and bow your heads with me. Because now it's time to make a decision how we're going to live our life. We're going to live our life for ourselves, constantly attending to what we need and what we want and our issues. Don't get me wrong, God cares about you, cares about all your issues, cares about you, wants to deliver you and set you free. But it begins, the solution begins by praying his agenda first. His will. Because when we align ourselves with his will and his kingdom, Jesus put it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. They're going to take care of themselves. So today, I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision how you're going to live your life. And I encourage you to choose this way of aligning yourself with his will. And right now, I just want to help you with that. I want to lead you in a prayer of doing just that. Above aligning ourselves with his will. Come into a place of saying, God, it's not about me. It's about you. When we do that, God says, yes, and for me, it's all about you. You're here today and you've made a commitment in the past, but maybe you're not where you need to be with God. It may be a recommitment for you today, or maybe a first-time commitment. It doesn't matter what you call it. But you know that there's some places in your life you need to realign. You know, it doesn't take much to get off a little centimeter and you're way off in left field. Today's an opportunity for us to realign ourselves with his will. And what will be the result of it? God will bless you. You're going to have peace. God's going to enlarge your territory. You're going to have influence. God's going to protect you and guide your life. And it's going to work for you. If that's you today, you say, Pastor, as you lead us in this prayer, I want you to count me in that prayer when you pray. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to just to simply lift up a hand, and with this understanding, I'm not going to have you stand up or come to the front. Just right where you're seated, I'm going to lead you in this prayer. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. So right there in the privacy between you and God, I'm going to lead you in this prayer. But if that's you today and you need to pray that kind of prayer, would you just slip up a hand and put it right back down while no one's looking around? Yes, Lord. That's me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm proud of you. Okay, those that raised your hands and those that need to raise your hands, but you know you need to pray this prayer. Just simply right there. Would you just whisper this prayer to God? Just say, Lord Jesus, today I align myself with you. God, your will be done in my life. Forgive me for going my way. Today, I accept your way and your will for my life. I repent. I turn from my way and I turn to follow you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and making a way for me. God, your way is better. I accept it. I accept your forgiveness, and I turn from my sins, my past, myself, to follow you. Today, I declare you as the Lord of my life. I will follow you with all of my heart as you enable me to